Hey, Russell Evans here. We're so excited that you've joined us today at Planet Shakers Church. We trust this message will impact and change your life.
God's presence, everyone say God's presence, is the key to blessing. That's what I want to speak to you tonight on. God's presence is the key to blessing. There's this guy in the Bible, his name is Obed-Edom. Really interesting name, Obed-Edom. The word Obed means servant. The word Edom means wilderness. So when they named him, they named him server of the wilderness or servant of the wilderness. Now there's two ways you can look at that. You can see that, think that he's there to minister to dry places, or that dry places have overtaken him and he's serving dry places. No matter what your view on that is, the truth is, this man, Obed-Edom, he was a Korahite. He was actually born into the priesthood. And one day he's sitting home, because I want to take it from the perspective of Obed-Edom. He's sitting home one day and at the door, there's a knock. You find this in 2 Samuel chapter 6. And King David is standing there. You imagine having the prime minister or the president or wherever, whatever nation you're from that you're watching me, whether it's a leader of your nation, turns up to your home and knocks on the door. You would be like, what are you doing here? And so he says, hey, I'm bringing this to your house because I want you to look after this. Now, he doesn't know that along the way that King David was bringing the ark, which represented the presence of God in the Old Testament. And this ark was kept in a place called a tabernacle, which was like a tent. And every time the children of Israel moved, they set up the tabernacle and put the ark in the Holy of Holies, which represented the presence of God, the awesomeness of God. And so the ark of the covenant, everywhere the children of Israel went, the ark of the covenant went first. But the Ark of the Covenant had been outside of Israel and David had brought it back. And on the way back, the Ark was being carried on a cart and it began to fall, and a guy called Uzzah went to grab the Ark. But the Ark was so holy. It was such a holy thing to touch the Ark. And the Bible says that God killed him because he got familiar with the presence of God instead of revering it. Thank God for the New Testament. And David was upset. So he goes to Obed-Edom's house and he says, here, you're having the ark at the house. He doesn't know the context, probably. He just has the ark turn up. So this ark is sitting in his room, this ark of God, and inside of it has three things. It has manna in a gold jar, which was a symbol or reminded the people that God provided for them in the time of need in the wilderness. There was a rod that was Aaron's rod that budded, which was a reminder that leadership and the leadership of life was in the presence of God. And then there was the Ten Commandments, which was when Moses had that encounter with God and God gave them the instructions on how to live their life to protect them and to prosper them. In fact, a lot of our laws today come out of the Ten Commandments. You shall not kill. Where did that come from? The Ten Commandments. And so this ark is sitting in his house, the presence of God, and the Bible says that his house got blessed. That's pretty cool. One day, he's Obed-Edom, server of the wilderness. The next day, the presence of God turns up. And what that says to me is, no matter what you're serving today, if you honor the presence of God in your house, he can turn your situation around and bring a blessing into your situation. And so the Bible says that everything in Obed-Edom's house was blessed. His tadpoles were blessed. They became frogs quicker. His goldfish was blessed. It got a longer memory. You know, they say that goldfish have 2-second memories. How do they measure that? Now, you might be some great scientist and say, well, they do that. No, well, I don't believe you because you're not Nemo. And Nemo is the only one who can talk to a fish. You can't, so don't ask the fish. The fish will never, you can't tell if they've forgotten something. Well, I forgot that. Well, how do you know? Well, I poked them and they forgot that pain. Well, whatever. Some of you are looking at me. I'm just all right. I'm joking. It's okay. Tell me. Ooh, wow. And so everything got blessed. By the way, it doesn't say there was goldfish in that scripture, but everything got blessed. His kids got blessed. His finance got blessed. His house got blessed. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says everything in his household got blessed. Everything got blessed. And the message of the blessing got back to David. And David said, I got to bring the Ark of the Covenant into in the city of David. And he brought it in. And the Bible says that he danced before the Lord with all his might. In other words, the presence of God was so important to the king that he didn't care how he looked, how he responded. He just was so full of God and so full of excitement. That's how we should be. You know, some people call churches like ours the happy clappy churches. They're the happy clappies. And I began to think about this. And I thought, yeah, I'm happy. And I clap. But people who go to the football clap too. They just clap about something that doesn't mean eternal, anything eternal. I go to the football and clap, but in God's presence, I clap more. Why? Because it's not hype. Hype is clapping and getting excited about something that isn't real. Realness, authenticness, is getting excited about something that's eternal. And the real authentic life is the eternal life. So I'm a happy clappy. I'm not a cynic arm folder. Who wants to live a life cynical and, yeah, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong? Will you change it? Don't give me your opinion. Give me your process. Don't tell me what's wrong. Tell me how you can fix it. Mr. Cynic, not you, no one in here. Amazing how people can point out all the problems in society and never give the solutions. They're usually called academics. No, I'm just kidding, just kidding. They've got a thesis on something but never done it. This is how you make money. Well, how much money you got? Well, I'm just a humble professor. Well, fantastic. Don't teach me on how to make money if you don't make money yourself. Oh, I got you really thinking now. I like academics, I'm just kidding. We have academics in our church. I like people who think and study, but I want to follow somebody or someone who has produced something to follow, not just written or have an opinion about something. Ooh, I got you really thinking. It's good. And so here is the household is blessed because where the presence of God is, there is blessing. You want to live a blessed life? Live a life in the presence of God. Because God blessed his whole household and everything in it he had been given. When you steward the presence of God, in other words, when you honor the presence of God, it releases blessing for those around you, not just you. You see, the Bible says if you're a Christian, you have the presence of God in you. You are the tabernacle, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you carry the presence of God. God is everywhere and he is moving, but so many people don't access what he is doing. Why? Because they get familiar with his presence and it's like living in a house with somebody and go, oh yeah, you're there. Oh, you've been there the whole time. But you never honor who they are or what they carry, so you never receive the greatness that they are. And some of us are like that with the presence of God. We get familiar with it and we, oh yeah, God lives in me. That's cool. But we never honor the God that's in us to bring out the greatness of him in us. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you and I carry the hope of glory. How do we release the hope of glory? We honor him who is in us by obeying him and honoring his presence. That means every decision we make, we include him. See, when God turns up to your house, everything gets blessed. Here's some more. You want some more? Prosperity comes in the presence of God. Now, prosperity doesn't necessarily mean you have money. Because I know people who have a lot of money. That's not prosperity. That means they've got a lot of money. God wants to prosper you in all of your life. He's a good dad. He wants to prosper your mental health. He wants to prosper your emotional health. He wants to prosper your physical health. He wants to prosper your relationships. He wants to prosper your family. He wants to prosper your life so you can be a blessing to other people. He wants to prosper your finances so you can be a blessing. He wants to prosper you in every area of your life. If you believe that, shout, yeah! That's what I'm talking about. Woo! Psalm, you go, you got a scripture for that? Yes. Psalm 1, it says, blessed, prosperous, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Sit back, critics. But his delight, his honor, his hunger, his delight is in the law of the Lord. In other words, his delight is in what God says. And in his law, he meditates. What is meditation? It becomes a part of you. He meditates on it day and night. And this is the result of somebody who does that. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings fruit, forth fruit in its season. So a tree night by the water is always refreshed. This is a life that God wants you to live. A life that's not dry, but always refreshed. It brings fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither. In other words, there's not drought coming to your life, spiritually, emotionally, physically. You might go through a hard time, but God will water you even in your hard time. And it says this, and whatever he does may, no, it doesn't say may, whatever he does sort of might, no, whatever he does shall prosper. Why will it prosper? Because he's meditating, he's getting into the Word, he's getting into the presence of God, and he's getting into the presence of God. So God says, because you honor my presence and you include me in everything you do, and you're not put off and you're not controlled by all these other things, but you're led by me, I will get you to be fresh, I will get you to be fruitful, and I will get you to prosper. If you are thankful for that, give God a praise right now. Thank you, Lord. Oh. You want another one? Protection comes in the presence of God. God had always been with Moses. Even in very difficult times, getting the people out of Exodus, out of Egypt, the Exodus out of Egypt, God was with him even when the Pharaoh turned his heart against him. God was always with him. He always protected him. Even in the wilderness, he protected the children of Israel. He fed them. He protected them from situations. He protected them from the wilderness. He fed them in the morning, fed them at night, led them in the day, led them at night. He protected them. And now Moses is gone, and his lieutenant, the guy who's taking over from him, Joshua's taken over. And God comes to Joshua and he says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. In other words, no one will be able to take you out. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. And I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. In other words, as you advance and you take down the walls of Jericho and you take down the giants of the land and you plunder the place where I've called and promised you to have, do not be fearful, do not be worried, because I'm with you. And if I'm with you, you're a majority. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You're a majority with God, and God says, I'll protect you. See, in His presence, there's protection. The Bible says He hides us under His wings. He's your protector. But if you don't come to Him and you try to do your life yourself and don't honor His presence, even though He lives in you, but you don't honor that, you don't walk in that protection. Wow. I remember there were times where I was fearful as a kid and I'd run to my mum and dad for their protection. See, God's like that. When you walk with Him, He says, I've got your back, I've got your front, I've got your side, I've got every part of you. You are protected. His presence releases protection. You want another one? Four on the front row do. That's because they get a salary, so they have to say that. Anyone want another one? That's not because they have that. That was just a joke to wake some of you up. Because we've just made the air conditioner go colder. Thank God for that. Peace and rest comes in the presence of God. Moses is there. And God says, all these promises are here for you. I'm going to make you a great nation, just as I promised Abraham. And wherever you tread, it's going to be your inheritance. You're going to go to a land flowing with milk and honey. And Moses says to God, but God, I'm not going to go unless you go with me. Unless your presence goes with me. Show me your glory. Let your presence, because your presence is what sets me apart, sets us apart. And this is God's reply in Exodus 33. And He said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. What does that mean? Was God sending him on a vacation? No. He was taking him on a destination, but He says, on your way to your destination, I will give you rest. I will be your rest. I will be your joy. I will be your peace. I will give you rest. See, having holidays doesn't necessarily give you rest. Lying in front of a pool, sipping pina coladas doesn't make you restful. It just makes me burnt. Sunburnt. You see, having sleep doesn't mean you got rest. It means you got sleep. You can still have an unrest in your heart. The only person that can give you true rest is Jesus. He's the only one. In Him we live and move and have our being. He is our rest. In fact, in the Old Testament, they had the Sabbath, which honored God by resting. In the New Testament, Jesus is the fulfillment of the Sabbath, and it's Him who we find our rest in. So I believe in having good vacations and I believe in having good holidays, but they will never give you true rest. His presence. Want another one? Yes. Fruitful lives come in the presence of God. John 15:5 says, yes, I am the vine, Jesus talking, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. Here's Jesus giving the success. This is His motivational talk. People pay millions of dollars to go to hear motivational speakers, and they pay money and that's all good. Then they tell motivational. But Jesus is giving you the true remedy for success. If you remain in me and I in you, I will give you the ability to produce much fruit. That's called success. So if you want to live a life that's successful, remain in Him and let Him remain in you. He's the vine, we are the branches. We get everything we get from Him. We get much fruit from Him. It comes in His presence. People say to me, well, that Plant Shakes is a successful ministry. It's great what God is doing. But compared to what I see He wants to do, this is just fruit. There's much fruit to come. How many are believing for your life to have much fruit? How many are believing for your life to see a lot of things happen great for God? God wants to release much fruit into you. Here's another one. Power comes in His presence. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says, "And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power." Acts 1:8 says, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Back here in this scripture, "Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." This power had the ability to heal, to deliver, and set free. If you want to live a powerful life, it is, you have to get it in the presence of God. See, if my iPad here isn't recharged, it runs out of power, and then it can no longer function that it, like it's designed to function. It's the same with His presence. His presence recharges us, gives us power for the ability to function in God's design that He's called us to be. Lastly, then we're going to worship. Worship. You know, some people go, "Well, I want more teaching." You know, when you stand in heaven, we'll be worshiping. That's what we'll be doing. Holy, 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 holy. I believe in teaching, but teaching should lead us to worship. Well, you're a worshiping church, and you're not? Well, we're a teaching church. Well, are you teaching people to worship? Because that's what is the most powerful thing that we can do. To worship means to kiss towards, to be intimate with. God didn't create you to know the letter of the law. He created you to know the spirit of the law. The spirit of the letter. The Bible says the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. So it's the spirit that reveals the word. So we believe in teaching, of course. Jesus was a rabbi, he was a teacher. We believe in teaching, but teaching in itself cannot satisfy intimacy. Teaching should lead us to intimacy. How are we going? Lastly, I gotta hurry. The presence of God leaves a generational blessing. Obed-Edom was a Korite. He was a Korite. He was made to be a priest, to minister to the people, minister to God. But he was called Obed-Edom, servant of the wilderness. Not a server of the presence, server of the wilderness. And then one day, the presence of God turns up. And if you watch his life all through scripture, after the presence of God came to his house, he followed it wherever it was going. And a lot of the Psalms are written, if you look, by the descendants of Korah. Maybe this psalm in Psalm 84 was written by the sons of Obed-Edom, or the grandchildren, or the great-great-grandchildren. Maybe, who knows? But they came out of the descendants of Korah, and Obed-Edom was a Korite. And this psalm, Psalm 84, was written by the descendants of Korah. How lovely is your dwelling place? In other words, how lovely is your presence? O Lord of heaven's armies, in other words, how strong God is. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body and soul. That's how we should worship. With my whole being, body and soul. My hands are raised. My heart's open. My shout is loud. My dance is great. My clap is strong. My whole being, body and soul, my mind gets focused on you. I'm not going to get distracted. I'm going to focus on you. I will shout joyfully to the living God. Goes on in verse 4. What joy for those who can live in your house, in your presence, always singing your praises. Always singing your praises. What joy for those whose strength who comes from the Lord. In His presence, the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up on wings of eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. strength comes from the Lord who have set their minds. See, worship is a decision. I am going to worship. I am going to speak to my flesh and say, come into order with my spirit. I'm going to set my mind into that place where I get intimate with God. I'm going to plan how I worship. I'm going to come with expectation to worship. You see all these people who plan their engagements. They go to these big endeavors and they get helicopter rides and different. I remember a friend, a guy who used to be on our staff, when he was proposing to his girlfriend to become his wife, he took her on a helicopter ride, but she's scared of helicopters and he knew that. She should have said no. But when Josh and Esther got engaged, Josh had this whole plan. You know, we're going to take her down this path, and then all the, because her father had gone to be with Jesus, and all the father figures in her life was going to be a part upon the process. He planned it. He got his mind focused on it so that he could show love to his future bride. That's how we should be with God. Not just turn up, what's going to happen in church tonight? I'm going to plan. I'm going to get my heart ready. I'm going to come with preparation. I'm going to come with hunger. I'm going to give him roses. I'm going to give him praise. When they walk through the valley of weeping, becoming a Christian doesn't mean you won't have any problems. But when you're walking through the valley of challenges, the Bible says it will become a place of refreshing springs. This is the God we're worshiping. He turns our weeping into refreshing, our sorrow into joy, our brokenness into wholeness, our fear into faith, our failures and our setbacks into setups. The Bible says, verse 10, a single day in your courts is better than 1,000 PhDs. Distinctions, job promotions, houses, better than 1,000 concerts, better than 1,000 job promotions, better than 1,000. One day is better. I'd rather be a gatekeeper. Remember, Obed-Edom became a gatekeeper in the house of God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield, our revelation and our protection. He gives us grace and glory. And the Lord will withhold no good thing for those who do what is right. Here is a man whose descendants are singing, better is one day. Where the presence of God is, there's blessing, there's prosperity, there's protection, there's power, there's generational blessing. So we got to live a life pursuing Him.
We're so blessed that you joined us today. Thank you for being with us. We'd love to connect with you at church@planetshakers.com on an email or on any social media platform. Connect with us, and we want to pray for you and believing the best for you. And we'll see you next week. Don't miss out. God bless you.